So my goal for this seminar with us is twofold. One, I hope that you leave saying, I need to do this. And two, I can do this. So that's kind of the twofold. I need to do this. This isn't optional for me. And can I am right now fully equipped to do this. I don't need, I'm going to go through a lot of resources today, but hopefully you'll see you need a Bible and a mouth. Like, and you have both of those things. So go ahead with those. So this session is called Getting Your Family into God's Word Together. We, it's previously called Family Worship, like the book, but finding out that more people are equating worship with music, and so not understanding the actual goal of this, though music will be a part of it, the Bible is the central focus of this, okay? So the first part is the I need to do this, or the why. And so I've given you a couple things there in blanks because I love blanks. And the first one is, it is your unique responsibility and calling given in scripture and seen throughout history. This is, the last seminar I did on this, I went more through the book, but these now are kind of just more summary points, from the book. But he spends like a whole chapter on this kind of idea that it's your responsibility. We see it in scripture and we've seen it throughout history. So when I say unique, I mean that no one else is given this responsibility. Like, this is you and your spouse's responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the church. It's not your children's teachers. It's your responsibility. And responsibility, again, you must do it. It's not optional to get your family into God's Word together. In fact, I found one of the things I found most interesting about that book is that he's talking about history, and he says back in the 1600s, men who didn't lead their family in God's Word were actually church disciplined and kicked out of the church if they didn't repent for not leading their family in worship. It's like, oh, wow, we've come a long way since there. And then calling also is, I like that word because it carries with it both the responsibility aspect, but also like, I get to do this. This is my purpose. I'm purposed for this. And so I think that just sets our hearts in a better place when we're talking about getting our families in God's Word. A couple passages of scripture I put there, Deuteronomy 6:7, which Spencer just read, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. Psalm 78. Yeah, so I this is a very thorough passage about the things that we are to teach our kids. And again, just that could be a whole seminar in itself, those verses, but just getting us that idea that it's our responsibility and calling in scripture. And then Ephesians 6, I think people quote this verse a lot, but they don't quote the whole thing. They'll quote, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but they forget the rest of it, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We'll talk more about that as we get into the how a little bit later about what that discipline and instruction looks like, but we'll go on for now. Number two, it should be your joy-filled legacy. I mean, my kids are just turned 2 and will be 4 in 2 weeks. And just even already, like, the Lord's been showing me just how brief this time is and how fast it goes. And so just the brevity of time that we have with our kids in our home, like, what's our legacy and what am I going to leave behind? And the funerals that I go to, because obviously I go to a lot, but it's always the ones that get me when they talk about the family in God's Word. And, you know, I saw mom and dad in God's Word every day, and we went through God's Word, and that's the most meaningful, you know, rather than mom loved to cook and clean. And it's just like, okay, whatever, but moms don't love to clean, but anyway. And then joy-filled legacy. It's a joy-filled, it's not we have to, which it is, but it's also we get to. And one of the things I really want you to see, not only I need to do this and I can do this, but this could be and should be the most fun time in your family. It's not just the stoic, everyone sit down and be quiet while dad reads the Bible, but what can we do to actually, a relationship with the Lord is fun. Let's make it that way. So I put in there a quote from Matthew Henry, if therefore our houses be houses of the Lord, we shall for that reason love home, reckoning our daily devotion the sweetest of our daily delights and our family worship the most valuable of our family comforts. A church in the house will be a good legacy. Nay, it will be a good inheritance to be left to your children after you. And I think this is so true. Number three, the last one for why. Again, this is, he does a whole chapter and it's really good in the book about why. But last thing is, it's invaluably powerful. Richard Baxter quote there, whoever used these duties seriously and found not the benefits, Compare in all your towns, cities, and villages the families that read the scriptures, pray, and praise God with those that do not, and see the difference, which of them abound more with impiety, with oaths and cursings and railings and drunkenness and whoredoms and worldliness and such, and which abound most with faith and patience and temperance and charity and repentance and hope and such. The controversy is not hard to decide. And I love that because it's true that it's not a magical equation, that if we do this, then our kids are never going to fight and never going to have any disagreements and they're going to turn out great. But we can't, knowing that that's not true, we can't overreact and say and kind of neuter God's word of its power. If God's word is being proclaimed in the home, it's going to have an effect. And we've got to trust in that and take joy in that. So then did I give you next? Oh, yeah, tips and suggestions. Just this is kind of the how part of it. But three kind of encouragements here. Don't let past failures regarding leadership of family worship keep you from fruitful and faithful leadership today. I think this is a huge one, especially for men that I talk with. If they haven't been doing it in their home, then they're almost embarrassed to start to admit, I should have been doing this. Or even if they did it for a year and then like 6 months go by and you don't do it, it's like, okay, just humble yourself and say, it's worth it to me. Let's do this. Don't let my past failures keep me from doing this. Two, recognize the privilege you have and thank God for it. Again, this is we get to do this. And I think that's one of the biggest things the Lord's been teaching me this last year is just what a privilege it is to be able to do this in our home, especially with kids that are younger and we don't have, 1,800 sports and lessons that we're carting them off to. Like, it's relatively easy right now. Which is good, because then when crazy things happen, we'll already have that, hope, Lord willing, that foundation set. But it's a privilege. It's a joy hearing Hudson on his monitor, as a 3-year-old, wake up in the morning and singing His Mercy Is More and How Great Thou Art. And these songs, it's just like, how do you know? Like, even How Great Thou Art isn't even one that we've done in family worship until just recently. He just heard it in the car. And it's like, and it's not because my kid's bright. It's just because kids pick up so quickly. Sponges. So take advantage of that. Let that be a privilege. And then number three, just be confident. You've got the Holy Spirit at work in you. So like, you can't be stopped. This is your thing. So then the when to do this. So we're talking in this session about a set time and a place in your home for getting into God's word. There are other sessions, and we can't neglect the informal times of throughout the day stuff. But this is there needs to be both the set time, and throughout the day. So the set time, do it whenever you can do it consistently is the easy answer. It's not like I've got to wake my kids up at 5:30 every day and we're going to do this because it's important to do it first thing in the morning. First thing for private devotions, I think is preferable. But family worship, whenever you can get it in consistently. Number two, do it however often it takes to make it the priority of your family. So people ask, okay, is this something I do daily? Is this once a month? Is this once a week? What is it? The short answer is whatever it communicates to your family, this is our priority as a family. This isn't just something we do once a week, but it's also nothing to get like stressed out about, like, I failed as a dad because we didn't do it today or something. But we'll talk more about that too. But whatever makes it a priority, I would say aim for daily. I think that's a good aim, but don't get stressed out if it doesn't happen that way every day. And then number three, guard it. So when you get that time set, when it's going to be, then guard it. Don't let other things get in the way. Schedule things as much as you can around it. If you're gonna watch something on TV at 7 o'clock, then make sure you do it at 6:30, or you're gonna have people over, or whatever the case may be. Schedule things in your life around it. Temporarily change the time if you absolutely can't do it in your schedule. Like, family worship's at 6 o'clock every night, and well, we're not home at 6 o'clock, so we're just gonna ignore it. No, try to change the time. Like, for us, we do it in the evenings, but Sarah teaches Monday and Tuesday evening, and Wednesday evening is choir. So there's three evenings right there. So then we try to adjust to mornings or another time over breakfast. And then the other thing I'd say about guarding it too is, this is the thing that was most convicting to me about that book, Family Worship, is that he encouraged people to welcome guests into it. So when you have people over, like, it's not a proud thing to say, well, we do family worship, so please join us. It's just, let that be. This is your family thing and you've got guests in, so invite them in. One thing that I need to do is, we were talking about it, Sarah and I, just like having some lyric sheets in our home so when we do sing, so that our guests can sing with us or something. It's just, if it's that important, if it's that a priority, then don't let other things get in the way. Some tips here: regularity and flexibility are the two blanks there. I say again, be consistent but gracious. Be careful that the flexibility doesn't lead to inconsistency. But again, have that time set aside. But if something comes up and you need to change it or alter it, then let that be the case. Two, aim to have your entire family present and alter the time when necessary to accommodate for this, but don't neglect it just because all couldn't be there. So a kid goes off to camp for a week, you still do family worship. If a kid has to work, if a teenager has to work on Wednesday night or another night, then do it in the morning, or you know, you can adjust it that way. So does that make sense? So yeah, don't get stressed out if they're not there, but adjust it as much as possible to allow it for everyone to be there. And then again, the family worship should be both formal, the structured and at a set time, and informal, the ongoing and constant conversations. Any questions so far? I'm going through this kind of fast, but I want to make sure that you can get your hands on these things too. So what is family worship? How do we get our families in? It's really, really simple. And that's again why I love that book. The three things he says are read, pray, and sing. What does family worship time look like? Read. That's the first one. What do you read? The Bible, obviously. You can use other things, like one of the books suggests Pilgrim's Progress or other things like that, but those should all be in addition to the Bible. The Bible has to be the primary thing that your children see you reading. And even if you use one of these kids' Bibles or whatever, I like to even just have the actual, like, my copy of God's Word there so that they can see that it's the same. Right. Exactly. It's not just a cartoon, especially because some of these are kind of cartoony. So, and read, when you read, read enthusiastically and interpretively, like read it like it's the most amazing book in the world, because it is. So don't just read it just dry and boring. Pause if you need to as you're reading for kind of clarification or interpretation as you go. You read something and then ask them to say, now what was Moses doing here? Or, you know, some kind of the questions that you can ask back. Make sure your content is age appropriate. And obviously this is a hard if you have multiple ages. But like, so this one is a really good one that we use. And every Bible story, it at the beginning gives the scripture reference. So if you have multiple ages, because this is more of a kid, a young kid Bible, read it in the young kid Bible, and then either give it to them to look at or just have them listen while you read it from your Bible for the older kids. Or, you know, don't be afraid. Don't just say, oh, I have to do one or the other. Cater to both of them. So be creative with who reads. Obviously, it's good for the dad to read as much as possible, but don't be locked into that. If maybe you Monday night is your wife's night to read, or, you know, do something like that. Just vary it. A different person read a different verse. You know, you've got 10 verses to read, and you just take turns going down the line reading the verses. I even like to, I mean, we haven't done it because our kids are so young and they can't read, but I've seen it done, and I like to treat it almost like a play script, to where, like, you have a narrator and they read all the words, and then you got a Martha and you got a Mary and they read those parts or whatever. So each kid, just never lose sight that this is true. It's not just a story. That would be my only caution with that suggestion. But engage with questions, illustrations where appropriate. Another thing to use would be like a catechism, to be a supplemental thing, like a question and answer book. This one is probably one of the best ones, the New City Catechism. Just ask a question, who is God? And then it gives you the kind of the short answer. What is our only hope in life and death? And then the answer there. So kind of those supplementary things. Catechisms, scripture memory, and then reading other books like Pilgrim's Progress or some of these other books here. So let me, I'll walk through some of these resources here before we go on to the next one. Because I gave you 20 resources there. I won't cover all of them, and hopefully I'll leave enough time so where you can come and just kind of look through some of these things. But and they're kind of in order here. So this is the Beginner Gospel Story Bible. I love this Bible for young kids, especially. If you don't have one, I've got extra copies here. This is one of the giveaways, so feel free to take one. It's not a cheap book, so don't take it if you're not going to use it. But I love it because it's easy for kids to understand, and each one, I mean, the pictures are good, but they're only like 3 pages. Then there's this one, Bible app for kids, which I love this one too. This is when we just started this one. A little bit scary picture of Satan when Jesus is tempted, but other than that, it's really good. And the thing I love about this one is it does, there is the free app. And so if kids like their screen time or whatever, like what better screen time than to give them this? Because the app, it's like, it's interactive, but it will read the story so you can hear it. And then you can like touch things in the move. So like the creation story, there's like two monkeys and you hit one monkey and it shoots a banana at another monkey. Or that's a big hit. But while they're playing with that stuff, they're hearing God's word being told to them. So you got Jesus Storybook Bible. This is kind of our church's favorite. I like it. It's a little old for older kids because there's a lot of words. So at least both of these, there aren't near as many words. But this is still a very good one. Sally Lloyd-Jones. And then she has a lot of other like books. This, Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing. And this is just shorter, little kind of devotional thoughts. But it's a really well done book that you can use either at, like, if you do your family worship in the evening and you read one of these at breakfast or something like that. I think that's a great idea. She's got two other books. Found and Love. Found is one just on Psalm 23, which is really great for little kids. Then we got The Biggest Story, Kevin DeYoung. This is this would be for older kids too, because there's kind of a lot of words, but cool pictures. And then he has to go along with it. This for younger kids, Biggest Story ABC, which I love this, and it just takes you through the gospel with the alphabet. So A, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. Everything was beautiful, you know, and just takes you right through the gospel. And then ends, I think, is Z Zion. Yeah. Yep. So it's a really, really fun resource for little kids. You got catechisms like this one I showed you. These two are our devotional books. So these would be for older kids that are written specifically on the different catechisms. So this one's on the Shorter Catechism, Heidelberg Catechism, but just really great. So each day is a different question, and then a week is a question, and then a little reading for each day. So both of these are really helpful. Then kind of these are the other book categories. So there's this visual theology guide to the Bible, which is, again, for older kids, but done in a really well done and just covers a lot of different topics about the Bible and Christianity. Big Truths for Young Hearts, Bruce Ware, which is a good book. This is more for you to read and then teach things from it. Another devotion book, Tim Keller's Songs of Jesus. I think I've got a couple copies of those. I have the genuine imitation leather copies of these if you would like one for being here. And then one of the things that another one of the family worship books encouraged was commentaries to use with kids. Like we think of that individual, but for older kids especially, I haven't used these, but this is the one that was suggested. This J.C. Ryle, they said it was really kind of easy for kids to understand. I don't know that for sure, so don't quote me on that, but that was in one of the books that I read about family worship. So, but just having a commentary on hand for if questions come up, then you don't have to feel like, I have to answer right on the spot, or even just say, I'll look it up and I'll get back to you. Like, there's no shame in that at all. The worst would be if you pretend to know the answer and it's really wrong. But then other two, this is a really easy, it's not, neither of these are too deep, these series. But this one I like. It's the For You series for older kids especially. Because it just kind of restates what you've read in the Bible in a different way. And I think sometimes that's just helpful for kids. So I really like both of these here. Those commentaries. Then we did this last year in church, the Adore books that for Advent. And I think we're doing it again this year. So don't quote me on that. If we're not doing it, this is the one that I recommend the most out of all of them. It's Paul Tripp's Advent book, Come Let Us Adore Him. We did this a couple, even when Hudson was little. I mean, he obviously wasn't picking up on what we were doing, but it was still establishing the habit of reading God's word at Advent. And I love Advent because I think that that's a time where families can start this that haven't been doing it. So it's really helpful. There's a couple more here that are good. This one is probably my least favorite, just to be honest, the Tim Chester one. But and then these are new, which are really good. These are for different seasons, Advent or Lent, but it's the Russ Ramsey, really good three-book series that you can do. The first one is the Advent one there. All right, so number two then, so that's read. Two is pray. And again, this, be creative with it. Again, prayer, I think probably is the one of these three that has the tendency to be the most boring or stale, or even to feel like we're doing this just because it's time to pray, but actually like to pray with a purpose. And another thing, like prayer is talking to God. It's not talking to your kids. So just be cautious of that. Like, talk to your kids, or talk to God in the language that your kids understand. I'm not saying like talk above them, but I'm also saying don't like be teaching them in the middle of your prayer. Teach them before the prayer. Yes. God, I just pray that my kids would really listen right now. that's really easy to do. And again, even if you have older kids or even younger kids too, like divvy up how that goes. Maybe the father prays at the beginning and the kid prays at the end, or the father designates, or even get fun with it. And, you know, a kid, like you get to pick, Monday nights is your night to pick who gets to do all of these things. And all, so there's just lots of options with that. And use this time, do like before you pray, to teach and to model what prayer should be. Again, if you're in a monotone voice and seem kind of distant, you're teaching your kids that that's what prayer is. But if you're actually communicating with God, your Heavenly Father, then that's going to be teaching your kids also. So I put on here a couple resources. Where am I back here? Okay, so you all know me and that this is my all-time favorite. Again, this would be for older kids. It's for older me too. But helpful. One of the things I find helpful is in my own prayer life is just reading the prayers of other people. I'm going to pray things that I normally wouldn't think of to pray. My prayers are going to be more diverse. So this one is good for as kids get older. This one is a little bit even I'm cautious to say that John MacArthur is a little bit more accessible than this, but I think just the time that he's writing in as opposed to this helps. This one is a good, also older, you know, like with little kids, we don't want to be praying for 10 minutes or whatever, but as the kids get older. And then these two are really helpful too. Prone to wander in streams of mercy. I think that's the next one. Yeah, these are just collections of prayers. So again, after we're done, feel free to check that out. But then this book, also by the same guy who wrote Family Worship, is a really short but helpful praying through the Bible. How do I use God's word and turn that into prayer? And that's really helpful for family worship, so that your prayer goes along with your reading and your singing. So I highly recommend this, just to get you some ideas on what to do with that. This is a new book that just came out, and I'm excited about it. So I haven't read it all, but it's just this is more praying through the Bible for your kids, but you could take some of the things that you've, like if you and your spouse use this in the morning, and then you could pull some things from it to use in family worship in the evening, or however you do family worship. But Nancy Guthrie, it's just a great book, just one page a day. It's more of like a devotional, how to pray, what to pray for your kids. So the top part here are the scripture for the day that she uses. Then this is just kind of the devotion part. And then this is like the specific prayer that you could pray with your spouse. Again, not like it's not long, but it's really thorough on different things to pray for your kids. So, then the last two on the resources, like make a family prayer list, and even like keep track and like, okay, we asked the Lord for this and this is how he answered, or, you know, as your kids, I think that's just a great thing. Like, each of your kids, okay, what do you want us to pray for tonight? You know, and add, so each kid adds something to the prayer list. I think that's a great idea. And I really think this is a great resource too, the RBC Missions Directory. I think our families don't pray for our missionaries enough. And I love, I don't want to go on too much of a rabbit trail with this, but if you don't have one, I've got extras up here. The two of the things that I love about this is it gets our kids to think outside of our own home, our own school, our own church, like in this building. But it also gives you an opportunity, because each one's just a little paragraph about them, like allows them to see the seriousness of worshiping the Lord and telling others about him. Like, these people, this is what they do for their life. Like, every second of their day is, you know, so just to boost up missions with family, with your kids, I think is a really good teaching tool. Okay? So then number three, sing is the last one. So don't be scared if you, well, you guys all sing, so you guys aren't nothing to be scared about. But songbooks, hymnals. We don't use them in church, but I think every home should have a hymnal or two. I'll show you some that I like in just a minute. Again, print lyric sheets. Most lyrics are free on the internet. This is the time to really let your hair down. Like, just have fun. It doesn't need to sound great. Like, we have a basket of instruments, and our kids, when it's family worship time, like, each kid grabs an instrument. Me or mom plays the piano, and then we sing. And it sounds terrible, but it's awesome. Like, Hudson loves to drum, and so he'll just beat on anything, but it's, let's make a joyful noise, and let's have fun, and we're not going to worry about what it sounds like. I think that's just a great way, because then they're engaged whether they can sing or not, you know, because the early, you know, Louisa, she's crazy. And so just get them engaged in that. And while I'm talking about that, too, like, because our two-year-old is crazy, I used to always sing and play piano, and then Hudson would drum. But, like, she's getting kind of big, and she's not wanting to really do it. So we found, like, okay, if Sarah plays and I kind of hold her and sway, then she'll be more engaged. So, like, just it's a lifelong juggling act, learning, like, what works for your family. So just to get them engaged. Be creative with this, too, like a different song each day or a song of the month or whatever. I mean, really, I will often pick a song, and then Hudson will pick a song, or, you know, like, three of the four songs that we did at the beginning are three of Hudson's favorites, that we do in our family worship. One of the things I didn't bring, but I'm really excited about is, I just put together a Crosswalk church hymnal for our kids, our church kids. And it's 30 songs that they are going to be, learning and really getting into over the next 3 years. So, 20 songs a year, and then that will rotate so that for 2 years they're singing all of the songs on this 30 list. It's 15 songs that are kind of older songs, hymns of the faith, classic hymns of the faith, 15 newer songs, but some of which that are specifically geared for kids, both older kids songs and newer kids songs that we won't sing in corporate worship, but then also another portion of it as old and new songs that we do in corporate worship, so that when they're in there, especially on family Sundays, like, I can pick those songs that they will already be into that. So I'm really, really excited about that. And what we're going to do is we're in the process of putting that all on our website with links to the videos and all of that, so that people can start using this for their own family worship, so they can be learning the same songs that they're doing in church. One thing that we've just had to start doing with our music is, because it gets kind of loud, and with the drumming and all that stuff, is like, okay, we're going to take this verse and we're just going to sing it just our voices, so that they're still learning how to use their voices too. So it's not complete chaos the whole time, but use a variety of newer hymns and older ones. The thing I've learned the most while being a parent about music is never underestimate how much your kids can absorb and how much, like, the wordiest, I mean, His Mercy Is More. That's not an easy, it's a wordy song, but our kids at least will, for Praise the Lord, the chorus, they'll sing, but they're really picking up 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus and Jesus What a Friend for Sinners were the two songs that Hudson gravitated to as a baby, and learned those two songs the first. So never underestimate that. I think they're better at learning new music than we are. And so along with that, like, kind of like what Spencer was saying about discipleship, and like, just take advantage of as much time with them and with music and scripture and all of these things. I was riding in the car with a good godly man a couple weeks ago, and with our kids in the back, and they were listening to, it was fine music. It was like kid bop, something like, and it was all fine. It was popular songs that they had changed for, and I'm not opposed to that at all, but like, they knew the words to those songs. And I'm just like, oh man, this is the time that you really want them to learn the words to How Great Thou Art and those other songs. And so I'll show you some resources for that as well. Let me see what else here. The younger they are, I'll say, the more that they will just take from you, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, this is before they've formed their preferences and their opinions. So the younger they are, more we can shove stuff down their throats, and they will think it's great because they don't know any else. So take advantage of that time if your kids are young, but also allow your kids to have ownership. And like, the older they get, when they do have their preferences, like what songs they like, let's do this song. That's fine. Even if it's not something that you necessarily like. Be in charge. Pick purposely the songs that you use. Maybe even make your own family hymnal with 10 songs. And like, we're only going to do these 10 songs for these months so that we really learn them. But also, don't be a dictator. Allow them to have ownership with what's sung, just like we do with what's read and what's prayed. But sing clearly with understanding so they know the words. Sing joyfully, again, just like praying and reading God's word. Sing passionately, like they're going to pick up on everything that you do. If you're distracted, if you're looking down at your watch or whatever it is, they'll be distracted or see that it's not important. And sing loudly. Just don't hold back. If you don't have the best voices, again, like, we're music people in our house, and our family worship time sounds horrible. So, and that's great. So be encouraged by that. Let me just point out a couple things in terms of resources here. One thing, like the more that your kids are in there as they get older and they're in service, use that. We write that preparing for worship article and put it on Facebook, and it's in the bulletin. Like, I'd strongly recommend. It's usually posted at 7 a.m. on Friday mornings. So check that out and pick a song from there to do Friday and Saturday in preparing for Sunday morning so that they can participate in that. And then I mentioned the Crosswalk Church hymnal. I put the website there that it will be. It's not there yet, but hopefully in the next month it will be there. I'm back over here. Some music that we love. The Gettys have like four of these hymn, but for kids. They all kind of, the covers kind of look the same for the kids. They just did a Christmas one, and it's not them singing, it's kids singing. So I encourage you to check. I put all four of those on there for that. The other one I really, 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 really love, is this, Dave and Jess Ray. It's Doorpost Songs is there. I think they're Methodist. Don't let that scare you. But these are the companion worship guidebooks that they have, but these are also the two of their CDs. This is their Christmas one, and this is one. But the thing I love about their music is it's just scripture. Like, it's just, so you want, we do, their kids, our Crosswalk kids are doing three of their songs from this album coming up for Christmas. But and then they have these books available that are little kind of devotionals based on the songs, if you want, and then the scripture that goes with them, so you can read those. So I really, really, really couldn't recommend them more highly. A couple other ones, Rain for Roots, Sandra McCracken, and others. They've got three CDs. I think a fourth one is about to come out, which is really good. Sovereign Grace has a five kids CDs, I think, available. One of them is based off of this book, Theology. And it's just a great book of different theological truths, but it's for older kids. So then there's the Gettys also have a CD called Songs That Jesus Said. That's all the parables put to, or New Testament. So the words of Jesus, like one's called Little Zach about Zacchaeus. That's really good. It's an older CD, but I really like it. And then Ellie Holcomb has one called Sing Creation Songs, and that's really good as well. And then the two hymnals that I'd suggest that you have in your home, or one of them at least, is this Hymns of Grace. This was put out by John MacArthur's Church Master Seminary. It has a lot of newer and older. This is kind of the newest, best hymnal that's out there. And then this this one says Baptist hymnal, but it's done by Lifeway. And you could also have the worship hymnal. It's the same hymnal with two different names if the word Baptist scares you. And the thing that's cool about this one is they just, like a month ago, I think, came out with an app. So all of the songs, so you can have it right on your iPad. It's a free app, but you don't get all of the songs. If you pay $9.95, then you get the whole hymnal on that app. So I recommend that to you. This book is an instructive about how to sing and why we sing. And I could not, this is the book I read from this past Sunday. I could not recommend it more highly. It's an easy read, but so helpful. I've got four copies here, so take one if you want one. It's that important. I want you to have it. And then there's other, we've got this book is good. These are kind of like hymn, like the background to hymns, and this one is specifically a Christmas carol one. There's others in this collection, but they're out of print, and I'm bummed. But this one actually comes with a CD. It's by Johnny Erickson Tata and Bobby Wolgamuth, not related to the ones we know. But this is designed specifically for kids, like the stories are written for kids. And then Ken Osbeck has a bunch of hymn books. These are not specifically written for kids, but helpful for understanding where the hymns came from. And then this series is really, really good. This one probably is more accessible for like school age kids, the Robert Morgan series there. Okay. Whew. Then let me just end with a couple overall suggestions. Here is that one, preparation is helpful but not essential. The thing that I love about family worship is you can spend hours preparing for it, or you could just not prepare at all for it. Like, if you've had a busy day and it's like, okay, we're just going to open our Bibles to the next thing, we keep a bookmark in the Bible that we're using at the time, and so we just open it up, and then we have our, you know, the 10 songs or whatever that we're going to can pick from, and we just pick. So it's not this intimidating, like, you have to prepare a sermon kind of thing. Number two, we've said it, but make family worship both fun and reverent. These two things do not have to be in conflict with one another. Like, fun and revering God can go hand in hand, and so you've got the opportunity to really use that in family worship. And then number three, assess what works over time, not by the, so there's a couple things here. Assess what works over time, not by the temporal mood of your family or a family member. Your kids are going to have bad days. Your kids are not going to want to do it. That doesn't mean that you're failing at what you're doing. But also, if it's like, okay, Louise is having a really rough time when she's 8, you know, and not really engaged, like, what can I do to engage her more? Just assess what your observations are there. Persevere, but also make changes when necessary. Spurgeon quote, as he's quoting Matthew Henry, I agree with Matthew Henry when he says that they that pray in the family do well. They that pray and read the scriptures do better. But they that pray and read and sing do best of all. There is a completeness in that kind of family worship which is much to be desired. This isn't an hour-long thing every day. Reading the story, one of these stories especially, takes 5 minutes max. You pick a song or two, there's another 5-6 minutes. You pray for 2 or 3 minutes. Like, you're looking at 10 to 15 minutes. I would say don't go over a half hour, you know, like, because this is a daily thing. You want to be something that they look forward to and that they want to be a part of. On the back there, I just gave you some final thoughts in with the acronym of FAMILY. Yeah, that's right. F, fun. This is we have to in terms of it's a non-negotiable, it's a priority, but it's a we get to. We get to do this as a family. 2, amazing. Make your family worship amazing. What do I mean by that? Is above all, I want my kids to come into family worship and leave being more amazed at who God is. Okay, it's not like that they get all of the points necessarily of a catechism or whatever. All of that's good, but if they're having that, but they're not being amazed by who God is, then something's missing. M, memorable, review from the previous day and ask a question. What did we do last night? Who did we talk about? And try to give something in there that they're going to remember from the day before. I, make family worship inspired. By that, again, is just a reminder that we're using the inspired word of God. That's the primary focus, nothing else. I'm not talking about telling an inspirational story when I say inspired. I'm saying inspired word of God. L, loving. Look for ways that you can express love and gratitude to one another. This is such a sweet time to bond together as a family over God's word. And even if you have to discipline, it's do it in a loving way. We're not doing this because we have to do this, but I love you enough that I want you to be a part of this and to understand who God is. And just look for ways to outdo one another in love. And then Y is yours. This is your thing. Giving you lots of resources, lots of tips, all of that stuff, but it's really simple. Read, pray, sing, and then you make it your own. So be free to do that. So, all right, I gotta let you go.